It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for being here as we touch base with the state revenue secretary in this tax season, about 4 weeks out from the tax filing deadline now. Colin, with your questions about tax filing, tax policy, with state budget writing season underway and top of mind, that number is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Peter Barka is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, previously served in both the State Assembly and the U.S. House of Representatives. Secretary Barka, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you very much, Kate. I appreciate it. Great to be with you.
There has been a great deal of attention drawn to this expected $7.1 billion budget surplus as we move into the next state budget cycle. How did our state end up with so much extra money?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. Certainly, having federal funds rolling into the state made a huge difference, both in terms of direct grants that went to people, but also in terms of the ARPA dollars that the state of Wisconsin had. Governor Evers was determined to make sure we reinvested that in businesses and farms and individuals so that people would come out on the other side of the pandemic. And that played just a huge role. Secondly, I think we've tightly managed things over the course of the past 4 years to make sure that, we've had dollars available. And it's paid off for us. As you know, we now, for the first time in 40 years, have a AAA bond rating with Kroll, and we moved up to AA+ with Standard & Poor's. And so it really has put us in a very strong position, Kate.
What excites you about the surplus? What makes you uneasy about it?
Well, what excites me is it provides opportunities, not only for helping especially middle-income taxpayers who've been hit hard by inflation, because I'm sure between the legislature and the governor, and the governor's proposed a very ambitious middle-class tax cut. In terms of nervousness, I don't really have any nervousness about the surplus at all because of the fact that it just allows us to make those kind of strategic investments in workforce. I know every business across the state feels very strongly that we need to do more to attract people to Wisconsin and help remain having a world-class workforce here in Wisconsin, which we've always had and been known for. So, I'm actually very upbeat and enthusiastic about the position that we're in right now.
You mentioned tax cuts. Governor Evers proposing a tax cut for middle-income earners in the upcoming budget. Do you think, is there room to also offer higher-income earners a tax cut?
Well, I know the Republicans feel strongly about that, and it's hard to know where we'll end up landing. But I know for the governor's standpoint, he believes that, it's really the middle income and those struggling to get into the middle income who have been hit hardest by inflation. And he feels like that would be the best investment of the dollar. So obviously, at the end of the day, there'll have to be some sort of a compromise. But we're hopeful that at least we can focus on those that most need the help at this point.
Just a little bit on current events here, though. Is there a risk of budgeting around a surplus since the banking crisis is rekindling recession fears from some economists?
Well, I know our economists at the Department of Revenue still feel very positively. We subscribe to a national service called IHS. And while it's true that there could be a small dip in activity in that we may not remain quite at this robust level, we still feel like we're in pretty good shape. Our economists track it very closely, and we get updates every couple of weeks. And so we're feeling pretty upbeat about where we're going to end up.
Talking about Wisconsin's tax collections with Peter Barka, Secretary of the State Department of Revenue. You can join in with your questions, your insights, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Governor Evers called for 20% of state sales tax revenues to go back to local governments. And I'm just curious, what impact would these fiscal changes have on state coffers when you push a lot more money back to local governments?
Well, local governments, for the most part, have really been struggling. It's been a decade since they've had any kind of increase at all, and really almost 20 years since they've had any significant funds. So they've been, you know, except for those communities that are really growing, many communities have been frozen. So they have unmet needs, particularly protective services, law enforcement, and fire services takes up a big proportion of local government funding, and many communities are really struggling. So, I think it would make a positive difference in terms of funding protective services and, you know, fixing potholes in local communities across the state and the other kinds of services that local governments provide. So, you know, the governor feels he made it his top priority for his reelection. And so we're upbeat. The Republicans in the legislature and certainly the Democrats as well, I think, have recognized the circumstances that we're in. And we feel like we can finally get some needed relief back to local governments.
Sales tax collections are seen as a barometer on our economy, on any economy. What do you see when you look at collections? What do you see in these numbers?
Well, you're absolutely right, Kate. I mean, our economists tell us that's one of the best barometers of where the economy is going. And, you know, the good news is it's still increasing, but definitely not at the pace it had been 2 or 3 years ago. So it's a slower growth, but still it's moving in the right direction. So that's the good news.
Are you, you know, I mean, with the surplus, are you concerned about spending large sums of like one-time money and perhaps triggering a structural imbalance heading into, you know, 2 years away, 2025?
Well, clearly that's something that we have to be mindful of. And, you know, the goal is to kind of balance one-time needs with, you know, longer-term needs that we have. So it has to be a delicate balance. You know, the governor obviously has looked at, you know, overall the needs in education and workforce development, even workforce housing, and has made some structural investments that really will put us in the shape to sort of keep us strong over the course of the next decade. But clearly it has to be balanced, and there's one-time needs out there. You know, you have the goal of maintaining the brewers here in Wisconsin for the next 20 years. So that would be one-time money that the governor put forward.
It sounds, though, that Republicans aren't on board with that.
Well, I don't think they're on board with his precise plan, but I think that they recognize that there is a need. And, you know, ironically, you know, you get $1.50 back for every dollar you invest. So it is a positive investment long term. If they were to leave, we'd actually, we'd be losing money compared to actually getting back $1.50 for every dollar invested. So I think the Republicans will find a pathway to getting yes. You never know. But what I hear is just that they want to take a look and put their own imprint on that. And the governor certainly has always been open to the best ideas coming forward, regardless of whether Democrat or Republican.
State Revenue Secretary Peter Barca with us in tax season to discuss tax policy, the financial position of our state. Call in with questions about tax filings, the budget surplus, questions and comments about improving tax code, 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The State Revenue Department administers our state tax system and then provides that money to fund state and local government services. Two-thirds of the way through income tax filing season, we have Revenue Secretary Peter Barca on the activity in his agency. Call in with your questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's talk about tax filing. Residents and businesses with about a month before the deadline here. What is different about tax policies that people should bear in mind this year?
Well, the federal government in particular made quite a few changes in their tax code. And of course, that filters into our tax code. When you start with Form 1, you're taking your adjusted gross income from your federal form. So people have to just be mindful of that and you know, watching from where there's differences between federal and state tax code, most people probably won't see that big of a difference, but people have businesses and more complicated returns certainly will. The other thing I guess I should make sure people are aware of is just been the attempts at fraud. We've never seen so many attempts before at the Department of Revenue. In fact, in the first couple of weeks, we had about three, you know, different CPA firms that were hit hard. Fortunately, they cooperated with us and we were able to catch, you know, to avoid the fraud from actually taking place. But we have a new IP PIN for Wisconsin tax filers that people can take advantage of, where they can have their own private account, and it's far more secure. And so we really recommend that people do that. So that'd be the first thing. And then the second thing I'd say is that people should never be hesitant to call the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. And the reason why I say that is that we tape record every call. We use it for training purposes. And we ask people to take a two-question survey at the end. About a third of the people do. And we get 99% positive ratings from people on our people being professional and answering their questions, things of that sort. And even in the heart of tax season, I think it was last week, we had a minute and 20-second hold time, which I like to joke, Kate, compares favorably to cable TV companies, airlines, and hotel chains.
So, you know, what should people be on the lookout for when it comes to tax scams?
Well, thanks for asking that. I mean, you know, first of all, it's just important for people to know that this is real and it can affect anybody, as we've seen. We've seen where the federal government's been hit, major corporations have been hit. And so you have to make sure you're, on a personal side, upgrading your, you know, antivirus protection and making sure that you're doing everything you can to protect yourself. And Department of Revenue, we invest over $1 million to $2 million annually in order to protect people's identity and try and avoid, you know, there be any kind of a breach. And but just one breach in one, you know, tax preparing agency can affect, you know, tens of thousands of people. So it's just very important that people are being mindful. And that's why we really have created this identity protection, what we call IP PIN, for people so that they can have a secure, private way of being able to file that makes it just significantly more difficult for anybody to try to steal your tax return or steal your identity, which is a part that, you know, we're extremely, you know, very much on the lookout for.
You mentioned wait time for customer service being quite short. How quickly is the state aiming to process tax returns this year?
Well, generally speaking, if, you know, if people file electronically, they should know, first of all, they generally can get their refunds back much quicker. In fact, we, on average, we can get a refund back within 10 days if people file electronically and if they don't make any mistakes. If they submit it on paper, we're not too much further behind, but, you know, sometimes, you know, there can be, you know, we have what we call data validators. They have to go through, and sometimes when they can't read information, or it's difficult for a scanner to pick it up, they have to correct it. So we definitely encourage people to e-file. And in fact, in the last year, we had over 95% of all taxpayers e-filed. So it's safe, it's secure, and we can process them much quicker when that's the case.
And people are able to file some tax forms, state tax forms, for free through the department's My Tax Account web portal. What types of tax situations would most benefit from this particular service?
Well, generally people that don't have as complicated tax forms, if people have like 5, 6, 7 schedules, it can be a little bit more difficult, obviously. But for people that have relatively basic tax information, certainly it makes it easier. Also, we have 165 sites statewide where we partner with VITA and what's called TCE. And if you're a senior citizen or somebody of limited income, you can go to any of these 165 sites. If you Google VITA Locator, V-I-T-A Locator, you can find these 165 sites statewide. We have 650 just wonderful people, Kate, that volunteer to help their neighbors and help people in order to get their taxes filed. I usually visit, you know, three or four every tax season. And it's just remarkable, just the number of people that come in day after day to volunteer during tax season, just to help people to make sure that they're able to file their taxes. And one other interesting note was that during the middle of the pandemic, when it was so unsafe for people to, you know, be in person, we actually had some of our VITA sites set up like drive-through programs. Hmm. Drive-through and, you know, put them in a place for our people to pick up or drop them off and leave at the front counter and come back the next day or a couple days later and pick up their tax returns. So I really encourage people that need help, you know, senior citizens, people with more limited means, to go to our VITA locations.
The resources are out there. Helpful. Yes. Wisconsin Department of Revenue Secretary Peter Barca with us in tax season, talking tax collections and state budget. You can join in at 800-642-1234. John in Richland Center is here. John, hi.
Good morning. I think that we should be in pretty good shape because everybody is happy that we have a $7 billion surplus. It makes everybody happy. But the problem is that we have to balance our income during the expenses. That way we can end up 20 years from now drawing on that funny money from the feds.
John, thank you. I mean, John really pointing out about how to create a sustainable budget when you have a surplus. Your insights, Peter Barca.
Well, John, you're right. There's no question. I think everybody does feel positive that, you know, that there is funds there. And he's absolutely right. You have to balance, you know, you have to look at how much money will be coming in the next couple of years. And you can use part of that surplus, of course, for tax, tax break for people and some of it for strategic investments in education and workforce. Part of the goal is to try and keep us vibrant economically as a state. You know, if you make strategic investments in the right areas, that will help economic prosperity. I know the governor had, we had 10 of the 20 largest companies in Wisconsin that had asked the governor to put in the research and development tax credit. And with what the governor's put in the budget, we'll have one of the best in the entire country. And those individuals had told us that if you invest in that, that's the single biggest thing that we can do for prosperity in Wisconsin. George Whitaker, who's been with Case New Holland for 40 years, had said, well, let me explain it to you this way, Peter. He said, you know, we have research and development and plants in neighboring states like Iowa and Illinois, and really across the globe. But wherever we do the research is normally where we build the product. Hmm. And so he indicated that it'd be very important to make sure we have one that will encourage that type of research and development right here in Wisconsin. The governor, being a former science teacher and superintendent of schools, answered that and put in the budget. So we're hoping that'll pass. And things like that also will make a difference in terms of our economic prosperity long term. Thank you for the call.
Let's bring in Mary in Pewaukee now. Mary, what's on your mind?
Yes. Hi, good morning. Thanks for this opportunity. What I'm asking about is for ourselves. We sold a residence, like a business residence last year, and wondered how will that affect our taxes, because I know we're going to have to pay a large percentage where we normally would be getting a refund. Thank you so much for
this. When you say, just really quickly, when you say a business residence, can you just elaborate a little more? What do you mean?
Oh, well, we had another home, mm-hmm. and we used it as a rental. So, it's called small business. Yes.
Mary, thank you. Revenue Secretary Peter Barca, any insights there?
People who have rental property, when they sell that, just like any income you have, you do have to pay taxes on it. So, especially if you're not reinvesting in, you know, another location or another business type interest. And obviously that can offset it. But whenever people make money from any kind of income there, you know, there is a taxable obligation. And it's just a decision that everybody has to make if it's worth reinvesting or worth investing that in some other business enterprise to offset it. Or sometimes people are at a certain point in life where they really don't want to continue on with that. And that's a personal decision.
Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Kate. Always great to be on your show. Thanks for keeping your listeners so informed.
Peter Burka is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.